I'm glad you're here today. Now I want you to rise with me. We're going to read out loud all together one verse of scripture from Proverbs 28, verse number 7. And I want you to read this out loud with me. Then we'll read the Proverbs 28, 7 text. When you do that, you can then be seated. Read aloud with me now the Word of God. He who keeps the law is a discerning son. But he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. If you're a dad today, you know that it doesn't come with instructions. You just learn along the way. And you either humiliate the name of your daddy as you become a father, or you honor the name of your daddy as you work through being a father yourself. As we read in Proverbs chapter 28 in verse number 7, he that keeps the law is a discerning son. He's honoring his father. But he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. I don't want to preach so much to dads today as I want to preach to the children. Us. We all have a father. You may not even know his name, but you have a daddy. Most of you do know. Some of you have laid your father to rest. Others, your dad is alive and well, and you have a grand relationship. Others, it is strained. But my question to you this morning is, how does your life reflect on your daddy? I want to look at two men in Scripture that are known. It's so evident in Scripture. When you find their name, they are called the son of their daddy. The first one is Jeroboam, the son of Nevat. 25 times in Scripture you hear that phrase, Jeroboam, the son of Nevat, Jeroboam, the son of Nevat, and it's always the son of Nevat, N-E-B. It's pronounced with a V in the Hebrew tongue. He is the son of Nevat. Then Joshua, 30 times we find in Scripture, Joshua is called the son of Nun, N-U-N, but the U is long and pronounced as a double O like our noontime, Nun. Are you a Jeroboam or are you a Joshua? Do you humiliate or honor the name of your dad? I want us to look at those two for a few minutes this morning. First of all, I want you to see with me Jeroboam. He is a king that humiliated his father. In 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 29 is one of those 25 times that you find this phrase about Jeroboam, where the Bible says, however, as for the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nevat, which he made Israel sin, these Jehu didn't part, even the golden calves that were at Bethel and that were at Dan. Jeroboam becomes an evil king, and he caused Israel to sin, and he is the son of Nevat. It's 25 times we find that in the Bible, the son of Nevat, the son of Nevat, the son of Nevat, the son of Nevat. Just name your name, the son or the daughter of Ted Traylor, the son of Delta. Keith Wells, the son of Pete. Just put your name in there. You are the son of, and there's a name. Do you honor that name or bring humiliation? It's hard to find from Scripture whether or not Jeroboam was just humiliating his father's name, or if it's named there because his father was such a poor father that he caused the heart of his son to turn. We really don't know, because we know very little about Nebat, except that again and again and again and again, we know who the father of Jeroboam is. How did Jeroboam humiliate his daddy? Three things, I think, that pop out of the study of his life. Number one, he kept very bad company. He hung around the wrong people. Let me tell you, if you're hanging out with the wrong crowd, you may very well humiliate the name of your father. And that's exactly what Jeroboam did. Bad company corrupts good morals. He had bad alliances. He was lined up with the wrong people throughout his life, going with the wicked, going with the evil, going with the sinful, going with those that did not honor the Lord. Let me tell you, friend, when you walk in a way that hangs with the wrong crowd all the time, you'll find that they will infect your life. Need to have close friends and hang with them so that their salt and their light would not bring corruption but fruition in your life. How does a man humiliate him? His name of his daddy, he keeps bad company. Secondly, he becomes a bully. A bully. That's what Jeroboam was. He just pushing people and pushing people. I am shocked, I am amazed, I am appalled at the young families today where there is a difficulty between a father most often and his children. And when those children grow to be young adults and marry, they have children and they use the grandchildren as pawns against their own parents. I cannot tell you the number of times I've had weeping people in my office saying, Pastor, my children will not even let me see my grandkids. And somehow they have married into a scenario where that person has so turned them to tell them their parents are not worthy of even a relationship. That person's a bully. We think about it with kids on the playground. I remember bullies in school. They didn't call them that then. We had other names for them, but we couldn't use those in a sermon. I remember the initiation of ninth grade at Pisgah High School when I finally went up to the big school. We was in the middle school and down in elementary, but when we moved up in the big building where they oiled the floors in a different way, I could name the name of the boys. I remember the day they ran me down the hall and pulled my britches down. It was a rite of passage. Did that today, it'd take you to jail. So I made the rite of passage in the ninth grade. When I was a senior, I look for freshman. There he is right there. It's his day. You don't come in here if somebody doesn't pull your pants down. It's a new world, isn't it? You'd be a sexual predator today if you did that. But when it grows into adulthood and you are just bullying people, your own family, you humiliate the name of your father. God help us. Jeroboam had bad company. He was a bully. And thirdly, he betrayed God. When you betray God, you dishonor and humiliate the name of your father. In 1 Kings chapter 12, when you read in verses 25 and following, you find that Jeroboam went away from the faith of his fathers, and he built two golden calves, and he put one at Bethel and one at Dan, and he caused the people to bow down because he was the king, and they bowed down to a wicked, vile god. And then he polluted the priesthood, and he took people from out of the Levitical tribe that were not priests, and he put them in the priesthood, and he polluted the faith. Dear friend, when you say you can just believe and do anything in the world around the things of God, you've polluted the faith and the priesthood of all the believers. And it's what Jeroboam did. And when you betray God, when you walk off from God, you leave a broken-hearted daddy and a weeping mother, and you humiliate the name that raised you to love the Lord Jesus. So are those of Proverbs 28:7. They're the gluttons that humiliate their name. So was Jeroboam. But on the flip side, there was Joshua. 30 times he is called the son of Nun. Joshua, the son of Nun. We find it for the first time in the first verse of the first chapter of Joshua. We've been studying Joshua here on Sunday mornings. Look at this. Keep your Bible open in Joshua chapter 1 for just a few minutes here this morning. Look at the Word of God where it says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' servant." And then he had some things to say. And Joshua, the son of Nun, did not humiliate but rather honored the name of his daddy. How did he do that? Three truths about Joshua. Number one, he walked with God. How do you honor your dad? Walk with God and you'll honor the name of your father. Look at it right here in verse 2. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people of the land which I'm giving to them, the sons of Israel." Joshua, get up, son, and get across the Jordan. We've been talking about that, how they came out of Egypt in the wilderness and then into the promised land when God put the waters up in a heap and they went across the Jordan and into that promised land. What did Joshua do? He walked with God. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to honor the name of you say, "My father wasn't much." Still honor his name. Your faithfulness to God will reflect good on the name of your father. Walk with God. You need to take a step. Zig Ziglar, I love Brother Zig. He's, of course, dead and gone to heaven now, but I've heard him say many things. And one thing that Zig always said, when you know what to do, take a big step in that direction. And then he followed up by saying, "If you can't take a big step, take the largest step you can take, but take it tomorrow?" Goodness, no. He said, take the step that you know you can take and take it now. Friend, if you're going to walk with God, you got to walk with him now. On this Father's Day, you ought to walk down this aisle and walk with him now. You ought to go to one of those next step tables and walk with God. You ought to do it now. On Father's Day, now. Now is the time. Today is the day. If you want to honor the name of your father, walk with God and walk with him now. Not only Joshua walked with God, but we see that he lived for God. If you want to honor the name of your dad, live for God. Look down in verse number 7 of Joshua chapter 1. "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful and do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." Walk with God. That's your relationship. Then live for God. Well, if you're going to live for God, you ought to have at least these markers in your life. You're going to live for God. Be generous. Be courageous. Be joyful. Be generous. God loves people who give. You ought to be a giver. My church family, listen to me. When you blessed Naomi's family this last Sunday with that offering, late Saturday evening, Brother Mike and I went over to that family and we shared with them the gift that you had given. One of the uncles was shouting. I'm telling you, he was moved. Generosity. When you learn to give, say, preacher, I don't have much. You may be like Opie. You only got $2 and something in your piggy bank. You can be generous. Be courageous. Be courageous. Do what is right. Every time. Every time. Be courageous. You find right, walk in it. You will honor the name of the man that gave you breath. Be generous. Be courageous. Be joyful. Amen. Be joyful. Say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm facing. Well, if you're saved, I know what you're facing. You're going to glory. You should try this. I've turned off the radio the last few days, and I've plugged my phone in when I'm riding around going different places. And I've just been listening to the book of Revelation. Let me tell you, friend, you get it. You say, well, I don't understand all that. The part you do understand will make you shout. The throne and the glory and the Lamb and undoing the seals and, oh, my soul. It has caused a shout to be in your soul. Walk with God. But live for God. Live with generosity and with courage and with joy. Joshua walked with God. He lived for God. But thirdly, you got to trust in God. Well, you got to trust Him. Got to trust Him. Look at it in verse number 9. It went on to say, have I not commanded you? Joshua, and I already told you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, God's there. Wherever you go, trust Him, God's there. Whatever's coming in your life, trust Him, God's there. You're going to a new job, trust Him. You're moving to a new city, trust Him. You've come to a new town, to a new church, trust Him. You're walking in a new relationship, trust Him. I'm telling you, trust God. He's with you wherever you go. You want to honor the name of your daddy today? Let me tell you, walk with God, live for God, and trust in God. The year was 1961. I looked just like that little boy on that screen. Head shaved off, red-headed, freckle-faced. I grew up in the Mayberry era. You ever study that show? Nobody was married on that show. Andy, Barney, Mary Lou. Very few people, all single adults. Floyd the barber. We lived in Detroit. My daddy had moved there with my mother after they got married in 1950. I was born there in 1953 on a snowy day in December. I have a picture that I treasure standing on the front doorstep of our little house at 23605 Diesel Street, St. Clair Shores, Michigan. I'm standing there like this. It's in my Sunday best with a bow tie, white shirt, and a vest, and cufflinks on both arms. The race riots hit Detroit. They locked my daddy's good friend in his butcher shop, took everything he had, scared me to death. It would take me almost 15 years to trust a black man because of what they did, those men, in that butcher shop. I didn't know anybody. I just saw in the news and I was scared as a little boy. So in 1961, my father was given opportunity to start a grocery store in a little old town of 500 people. I remember the day we packed it all up. They put everything we owned in an 18-wheel truck trailer and then drove my daddy's Dodge car up into the trailer with all our stuff. I got in the cab with my daddy, Uncle J.C., who drove the truck, and we started for Alabama and left Mother at 23605 Diesel Street until she could finalize the sale of that house and join us in our little rent house. I remember waking up somewhere asleep in the sleeper of that cab. Daddy and J.C. had gone in to eat. They were in a restaurant and left me in the cab of the truck asleep. I woke up. It's the only memory I have of that trip. Nobody was there. I got out and went in and found them somehow in that restaurant. I'm just a first grade boy in the summer before second grade. We got to that little rent house, had no air conditioning, of course, and stayed there through the winter, had no heat. We warmed by the stove, a gas stove, every morning, got our clothes on. Everybody brought their clothes into the kitchen. It's where we dressed. And I went off to second grade. Before Mother got there, have the worst picture of me in all of the family album. I looked like a homeless child because my father dressed me. Mother was not there. She's now 84 and he's 91 and she has not forgiven him yet for that picture. Mother dressed me when I stood on with my vest, but Daddy dressed me when I went like a homeless child for second grade pictures. You couldn't buy that photo from me. When we moved, I only remember we started this little store, and every Friday night we'd gather up a few things and bring it home. When I'd want something else, Daddy'd say, "No, you can't have that." Later I would ask him, he said, "When we made money, we got $50 every other Friday, because we were in partnership with an uncle." I didn't know we were poor. It didn't last long. 2 years later, my dad would buy out that uncle, start the store, and the store would grow and grow. We'd build another building. We'd go from two cash registers to four, and it grew, and he cut meat, and I learned about the butcher shop. I still have a hard time Going into a grocery store today. I remember the day when Eugene cut his thumb off in the butcher shop. We never found it. I search every pack of meat that comes from anywhere. I'm telling you that to tell you this. I watched my father trust God for his wife, for his kid, for his business. It was a new place, a new vocation, a new time. I watched my daddy trust God. He didn't say it, he just did it. He didn't lead devotions. He just trusted God. Mama did most of the talking. Daddy did most of the living. You honor the name of your father when you walk with God, when you live for God, when you trust in God. And if you lead a family today, in every step of the way, you must learn to trust Him. Years later, I would meet a professional baseball player in this church. I would go back to see him play in Detroit. And while we were there, I took my father on Father's Day to see the Tigers play because I knew somebody that could get us in, and we had great seats in the new field. And that afternoon, we got in the car, and we drove down to Diesel Street, and we saw the little house, and then we drove to the end, and it said St. Clair Shores Baptist Church. We went to try to get in. We couldn't, and my daddy went up to the windows and wiped it off, and he said, "Look right in there," and I said, "Yeah," and I could see down from the back toward the front, that little shotgun church. He said, "Can you see the little curtain?" I said, he said, "That's where I was baptized." He said, "I trusted Jesus here in Detroit. When a Texas preacher came by and knocked on our door, and I gave my heart to Christ," and I was, and he'd point, he couldn't hardly see the glasses a little far. He said, "Right up there, oh, I wish we could get in." I remember always sitting in the balcony as a little boy. Brother Kieford preached the gospel. That's where it all started with my daddy. That's why he told me this morning, do good. Tell some man that the way I got saved, they ought to get saved. What Jesus did for me, tell some man there to trust Jesus today on Father's Day. I read the story of a little 10-year-old boy that went to church with his mother. They went every Sunday and daddy never went. The little boy came home. He got there, he went over and daddy said, "How was church?" He said, "Well, they asked me today, if I were to die, would I go to heaven?" The little boy jumped up in his daddy's lap, and his daddy asked, he said, "What'd you tell him?" He said, "I looked that teacher in the eye and said, I want to go wherever my daddy's going." That's what little boys want to do. And yet there are men leading their sons down the road to eternity in hell. Men, you need to turn on your heel today and come repent and begin to live for God and give honor to the name of your earthly father and give honor unto the name of your heavenly father. He'd save you today if you'd call on him and trust him. Bless God, he'd do it. He wouldn't just save a father, he'd save a mother. He'd save a little boy. He'd save a little girl. For you see, God loved the world and he gave his son and Jesus died for you. On Thursday of this week, I'll give my own testimony, and I'll stand right here and say to those boys and girls, I sat seven rows back. Nolan Ford gave the gospel to Pisgah Baptist Church, and I can go back to that very spot. There's no church left there. The only thing left are the steps of the church. The church burnt down, and they built something else, but part of the foundation is there. Those steps are still there, and it's at those steps where I trusted the Lord Christ. I go back there every now and then, walk on that property. Just like my daddy looked into the windows at St. Clair Shores, I can look down to the steps at Pisgah Baptist Church and say it was right there. Can you take me to somewhere? Can you tell me where you were when you trusted Jesus? Say, Pastor, I've never done it. Then today's the day. Hallelujah. Father's Day. What a day to know the Lord. Trust Him. Trust Him. God so loved the world, He gave His Son for you. And you should walk with God. You should live for God. But let me tell you, it all begins when you trust in God. If you've never trusted Him, pray this prayer. Well, you don't have to bow your head. Look right here. Pray these words. Lord Jesus, thank You for loving me. Come into my life. Forgive my sin and save me today. And Lord, I promise, as You give me strength, I will live for You. You pray that in your heart and mean it, and you're ready to come to God, then today's your day. When we sing a song in a minute and John begins to lift his voice, you need to get up out of your seat and walk right here. Out of that balcony, you need to come. If you're sitting seven rows back where I was, you need to get out of your seat. Walk to the front, because Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. But if you deny me, I'll deny you before the Father. I'm going to tell you, Dad, if you got kids today, and if they'll let you and you can get to them, you ought to put your arms around them and hug them and kiss them. It was 35 years ago today. I spent the whole day, 24 hours, at the Wichita Falls General Hospital. My wife was in labor all day long, 35 years ago today. Rachel was born at 18 minutes after midnight. Her birthday's tomorrow, but if you ask Liz, her birthday's today. That's the day she did the work. She's just getting ready to go in, going to have a cesarean. Nurse burst through the doors and said, is this an emergency? They said, no. Said, we've got a stab victim. They got stabbed in the bar, and we got to do surgery. Can they wait? I said, well, we've been waiting 14 hours. I guess we can wait another 30 minutes. And they took some gal in there with her husband. I'll never forget it. She had on that little slinky dress. There were some people from the church sitting with me. She had a ship tattooed on her chest. And all you could see was the mast of the ship. Later, some of those girls would look at me and say, Pastor, I wonder where the rest of that boat was. I said, I don't want to know about it. As before, they'd let you go in. And then they brought me that little girl and laid her in my arms. Ain't nothing like it, is there, Eric, when they bring you Paige? Brother Keith, not a day like that. Nowhere. They laid that little girl. And from that day to this, for 35 years, I guess I've been the most perfect father the world's ever known. Amen. I've never made a mistake. I've been right every time. No, I've never been in doubt, but I've been wrong several times. See, we earthly fathers don't do it perfectly. But there is one above who is the perfect God, and he knows how to love you better than I know how to love you. And if you'll run to him, he'll save you today. If you'll run to him, he'll forgive your sin. If you'll run to him, he'll make you new. If you'll trust him, he'll walk with you every step of the way.